This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. Our team thanks you for downloading the Rich Scioli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we will work to gain your trust, your confidence, and in turn, develop a relationship with you, the Rich Scioli listener.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Scioli podcast.
The president addresses the nation last night. Bernie Sanders says he's still in it to win it, and a lot of people reacting today to the fact that the coronavirus is now officially a global pandemic. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. If you missed my interview with Dr. Anthony Mazzarelli, the co-CEO, co-president of Cooper University Healthcare System, I'm going to replay it for you later in the show. Very important to hear what Dr. Maz had to say, and it's getting great feedback, so I want you to hear it if you did not hear it. Let's begin with a little bit of the president from last night, as the president was discussing from the Oval Office some of the things they're going to do. He talked about the fact that for the vast majority of Americans, the risk is very, very low, and he wants all of us to do our part to help stop the spread of the coronavirus. Cut 8.
The vast majority of Americans, the risk is very, very low. Young and healthy people can expect to recover fully and quickly if they should get the virus. The highest risk is for elderly population with underlying health conditions. The elderly population must be very, very careful. In particular, we are strongly advising that nursing homes for the elderly suspend all medically unnecessary visits. In general, older Americans should also avoid non-essential travel in crowded areas. My administration is coordinating directly with communities with largest outbreaks, and we have issued guidance on school closures, social distancing, and reducing large gatherings. Smart action today will prevent the spread of the virus tomorrow. Every community faces different risks, and it is critical for you to follow the guidelines of your local officials, who are working closely with our federal health experts, and they are the best. For all Americans, it is essential that everyone take extra precautions and practice good hygiene. Each of us has a role to play in defeating this virus. Wash your hands, clean often used surfaces, cover your face and mouth if you sneeze or cough, and most of all, if you are sick or not feeling well, stay home.
Yeah, well, you know what? This is how we can make sure the virus doesn't spread, which is key. Because, again, like what Dr. Maz said earlier in the show, you'll live if you get it, if you're healthy, but you may spread it to an elderly person who may not live. And that's the problem. An elderly person or somebody who has underlying conditions, especially lung conditions or diabetes or high blood pressure, these things can be fatal. That's why stopping the spread now. And look, it's March, right? If we stop the spread now and this thing goes away in April, I'm not saying it will, but let's say it does. I can't predict that. Nobody can predict that. But let's say it follows the same pattern as the flu and it's seasonal. You take these steps now. It goes away in a month. And then there was no big, big economic crippling pandemic where lots of people died in the country and everything like that. I mean, I think it's just the most common sense, right? Just take steps now to make sure that it doesn't spread. And then we'll see how it goes. If by April it's still around, maybe they're closer then to having the vaccine developed or trials for the vaccine. I don't know about you, but a lot of people would be willing to say, you know what, I'm sick. Give me the vaccine. Let's see how it works out. I'll be a human guinea pig, so to speak. And they can speed up these approvals and everything like this. The big part of what's happening right now, if nothing else comes from this COVID-19 stuff, please keep in mind this. The United States of America is far too dependent on China. with regards to what we need for our healthcare system. We are way too dependent on China. The whole notion of the fact that we've got to rely on Chinese production of medicines and gloves and masks and all these other things is very problematic. And the Trump administration is trying to do something about it, and they need to do something about it. Because otherwise, we're going to have something far worse happen in this country down the road. And you know what? We're not going to be able to do anything about it because we'll still have the same supply lines coming through China. This article from The Times is very important. Coronavirus spurs U.S. efforts to end China's chokehold on drugs. The efforts include a push by White House trade advisor Peter Navarro to tighten the Buy American law so federal agencies are required to purchase American-made pharmaceuticals and medical equipment. The administration has been preparing an executive order, which could be released in the coming days, that would close loopholes allowing the government to purchase pharmaceuticals, face masks, ventilators, and other medical products from foreign countries. The hope is that increasing government demand for American-made drugs and medical products will provide an incentive for companies to make their products in the United States rather than China. To help facilitate such production, the White House is also pushing for streamlined regulatory approvals for American-made products and more detailed labeling of the origin of products made offshore. Quote from Peter Navarro, who you've heard on this program several times. China has managed to dominate all aspects of the supply chain using the same unfair trade practices that it has used to dominate other sectors. Cheap sweatshop labor, lax environmental regulations, and massive government subsidies. As President Trump has said, what we need to do is bring those jobs home so that we can protect the public health and the economic and national security of the country. China is known as the world's factory for car parts, toys, and electronics, but it also churns out much of the penicillin, antibiotics, and pain medicines used across the globe, as well as surgical masks and medical devices. While the United States remains a global leader in drug discovery, much of the manufacturing has moved offshore. The last American plant to make key ingredients for penicillin closed its doors in 2004. Now, I don't know if you know that or not. I mean, a lot of this was very eye-opening to me. To be honest with you, as much as I try to know as much as I can about lots of different subjects, I had no idea how much of this was made in China. Recently, I had to get I had to get anesthesia at the hospital for just a follow-up to my surgery from last year. And I asked the anesthesiologist, you know, where's this, what's the product I'm getting today? And she said, you're getting a good old made in China propofol. I thought, made in China? Don't we make that stuff here? Not only was that eye-opening for me, then this was a couple months ago, but then as I'm learning about the shortage of face masks and gloves and all the other medical necessities, the fact that we've turned over all this to China in so many ways. And they hate us. Look, let's not pretend like China is trying to come to our defense here and help us out. If they wanted to, they could spur the production of these items double time. They've got the people. They've got the factories. You know as well as I do, China's sitting back right now looking at this, and they're enjoying this moment. China is our enemy. China is our enemy. They are not our friend. We're frenemies in the sense that we do business together. But that's classic Godfather 101. You know, you can do business with them, but you don't trust them. You can do business with Hyman Roth, but you don't trust Hyman Roth. And that's like what it is with China. And they would love to undermine our country. They have undermined our country. You know that. I know that. That's why the president has been trying very hard to deal with China, to deal with their intellectual property violations, their currency manipulation, their stealing of our products and ideas. And now we're dealing with this supply chain issue with China that is threatening to life and liberty here. If nothing else comes from this entire thing, please, we got to recognize now that China has way too much stake in our healthcare system. Way too much stake in it. Chinese pharmaceutical companies, back to the New York Times article, Chinese pharmaceutical companies have supplied more than 90% of U.S. antibiotics, vitamin C, ibuprofen, and hydrocortisone, as well as 70% of acetaminophen and 40 to 50% of heparin in recent years, according to a senior fellow for global health at the Council on Foreign Relations. On February 28th, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration warned that one drug was already in short supply in the United States because of manufacturing issues and said it was monitoring about 20 others that rely on China because of factory closing and transportation restrictions in China. Last week, the Indian government ordered its pharmaceutical companies to stop exporting 26 drug and drug ingredients, most of them antibiotics. And South Korea, Germany, India, Taiwan, and others have clamped down on exports of masks and other protective gear over worries that their own supplies will fall short. Quote, from President Trump. The coronavirus shows the importance of bringing all of that manufacturing back to America, and we have that started. He was speaking in front of chiefs of major pharmaceutical and biotech companies. It's already started. Frankly, it started about a year ago. In Mr. Trump's lunch meeting with Senate Republicans on Tuesday, Senator Marco Rubio of Florida urged lawmakers to move quickly to leverage government programs like Small Business Administration loans to ramp up American production. Quote from Mr. Rubio, "The coronavirus outbreak has made clear we must combat America's supply chain vulnerabilities and dependence on China and critical sectors of our economy." I mean, and it goes on and on, but I think the key point here is that you can't sit back and tell me that in all of this stuff that we're dealing with right now with coronavirus and the spread, and we've got to be dependent upon one of our foreign enemies for our healthcare system, that that's not a wake-up call to us. It's not a wake-up call. It's got to be a huge wake-up call to us. The president yesterday talked about Europe and suspending travel to and from Europe. From Europe to the United States of America. This is a key point as well, because Europe is experiencing, some countries there like Italy, a massive outbreak, and Europe doesn't have any borders. Remember I said last week, there was a caller who called up and said he thought it was ridiculous that his daughter had to come home from a study abroad. And I said, well, I think that it's better your daughter's here in the United States of America than in Italy, because Italy is the European Union. Come and go as you please, no borders, and that's all great. Except for when there's an outbreak of something, and it's very difficult to close those borders and contain it. And that's the problem. And for years, we heard that President Trump was a xenophobe who only wanted white Europeans to come to America. Remember, they used to make all those jokes about President Trump wanted a southern border wall, but he wanted as many people as he could get from Scandinavia. Well, now he puts in this European travel restriction, and they still say he's xenophobic. They still come out and say the same exact crap they said about him last time. Cut 7.
At the very start of the outbreak, we instituted sweeping travel restrictions on China and put in place the first federally mandated quarantine in over 50 years. We declared a public health emergency and issued the highest level of travel warning on other countries as the virus spread its horrible infection. And taking early, intense action, we have seen dramatically fewer cases of the virus in the United States than are now present in Europe. The European Union failed to take the same precautions and restrict travel from China and other hotspots. As a result, a large number of new clusters in the United States were seeded by travelers from Europe. After consulting with our top government health professionals, I have decided to take several strong but necessary actions to protect the health and well-being of all Americans. To keep new cases from entering our shores, we will be suspending all travel from Europe to the United States for the next 30 days. The new rules will go into effect Friday at midnight. These restrictions will be adjusted subject to conditions on the ground. There will be exemptions for Americans who have undergone appropriate screenings, and these prohibitions will not only apply to the tremendous amount of trade and cargo, but various other things as we get approval. Anything coming from Europe to the United States is what we are discussing. These restrictions will also not apply to the United Kingdom. At the same time, we are monitoring the situation in China and the South Korea. And as their situation improves, we will reevaluate the restrictions and warnings that are currently in place for a possible early opening.
You know what? Here's the deal. I think you know by now, if you've been listening to the show for a long time, that I'm a very rational guy. At least I try to be anyway. And I try to apply common sense in life. I see no reason why anybody should go to a big game right now or a concert, because of the fact that if we can stop this thing now and contain it now, like, for example, I'll give you this point right now. A lot of the people who seem to be the ones who are saying this is all hysteria and a hoax would probably vote for the president for re-election, right? In November, I would think that. And unfortunately, there have been some talking heads on Fox News who've managed to make it seem like this whole thing is hysterical and a hoax and everything like this. But let me ask you this question. If you want the president to get reelected, do you think it's better if we do everything we can to contain this outbreak, or go, it's a hoax, and then the outbreak spreads and kills a lot of people, gets a lot of people sick, and cripples the economy? What do you think's better? What do you think's better? So see, the way I look at it is very simple. This may be unnecessary. It may be unnecessary to not go to a Flyers game on Saturday. Maybe it is an overreaction. But if that overreaction keeps this thing from spreading and then keeps some elderly people from dying and keeps the economy from tailspinning and then doesn't affect the 2020 election, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. I really am. I'd rather take my chances with that. And now you may say that's a very, you're just doing it for politics. Well, you know what? Life is politics. Life is politics. And anybody who says anything else is kidding themselves. It's that's the way it is. And what I'm, unfortunately, what I find is that some people go, you're buying into this hysteria. You're buying into the hoax. No, look, Dr. Fauci, the president's team, they've all said this virus spreads more quickly than we imagined. And that most people are going to be fine. You're going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. We're going to be fine. But when you're sick, you can't go to work. There's a productivity cost to that. When you're sick, you can't travel and do things. When people are, and if elderly people die and all these things happen on the president's watch, that's going to be an issue for him in the fall that he's got to deal with. And so if you can avoid that by making sure we take the steps to not spread this thing, then you win on multiple levels. You win because you don't get sick. You win because you don't infect somebody whose system couldn't handle it. And you win because it doesn't affect the politics in the fall. But I see zero downside to this. Zero downside to this. In terms of saying, all right, we don't go to a concert this weekend. We don't go to a basketball game this weekend. We have a big, big, big freaking deal. Like, you can watch these things on television now. It's an amazing invention. You can literally watch this stuff on television, and they can still make money because they can still sell commercials to you as you watch it on television. So you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of things here that we can, and then who knows, in a month? With spring and then summer coming, maybe this all goes away and we find out that it follows a seasonal pattern. And in the meantime, we make the vaccine and we're prepared for next winter. I'm okay with that. I think that's a short-term sacrifice to be able to handle that. I don't see any problem with that.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Frank is in Burlington. Frank, good morning. Thanks for the call, bud. How you doing?
Hey, Rich. I agree with you in one way. Yeah, of course you have to do something, and you know I think what's being done now is fine. But shutting an entire country down over a virus—they've done this really extensive testing. You know, as far as like much higher per capita testing for this virus in South Korea, and they're finding out the mortality rate is trending down. Right now, it's like 0.5%. The regular flu is like 0.2 to 0.3. So overreaction can kill an economy, and then you want to see Trump lose. Everyone to say, look, everything died under Trump because he didn't handle things right. And I think both ways can really hurt Trump. I really do. But the numbers just don't justify the panic. They really don't. People just don't study this stuff enough. That's all.
Well, first of all, the numbers that you just said are different than what Dr. Fauci said yesterday. In which case,
hang on.
Yeah. I'm not talking about South Korea, though. I'm talking about here. And what Dr. Fauci's projections are in terms of this versus flu are different. But number two, it's not the flu because we have a flu vaccine. We have a flu shot. We know how to treat the flu and we know how to deal with the flu. This is a new virus. And that's why this is something to be prepared. But I don't think preparation and panic are the same things. Do you?
I'm seeing panic everywhere. I don't know.
Where?
I mean,
well,
I'm
like, give me an example of panic, Frank. What is panic?
The NBA was shut down totally.
Okay, all right. So you watch games at home. Exactly. You don't go to a game. You for college hoops. You watch games at home. March Madness. You don't go to the games. All right, big deal. You watch the game at home.
But what effect is that going to have on the economy in general? If this spreads like that, everything shuts down. If they all follow suit. This can really, truly cause an economy to collapse.
Hang on, though.
Yeah.
We're talking about a couple weeks because we're going to know in a couple weeks if this thing all goes away. I think the strength of this economy right now, it can weather that storm for a couple weeks. But what happens if we don't take those things? And let's say that this thing spreads even faster than we thought and the lethality rate is higher for elderly people. And then you're talking about crippling the economy. What could that do?
You're right. I mean, but I think this got to be a real even-handed approach. And I'm not saying do nothing. I'm not saying that. But the only reason why I brought up South Korea is because the numbers, this is funny how you can play with numbers. You have a certain number of people that have been tested, But there are a lot of people walking around that have it too. So as more people are tested, you will see the mortality rate come down. That's why you're seeing those numbers come down in China and in South Korea. And we're a little bit behind the curve with the testing.
Well, that's what Governor Cuomo said. Yes, we're behind the curve with the testing. Yeah. I understand. You're also going to see the numbers go up when we do the testing. You're also going to see the numbers go up and the mortality rate's going to go up as well in the short term.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, that is 100% true.
Okay.
Because Frank, I just had Dr. Maz on, and he explained that the mortality rate, of course, is going to go up because we'll be attributing people's deaths to the coronavirus. And statistically speaking, as we're testing more people who are really sick, the mortality rate numbers are going to go up because if you're healthy, they're not going to test you. If you get it, they don't need to. They're just going to tell you to go home and take ibuprofen. So the people that are going to be testing are going to be most of the people that are most likely going to die from it. So those numbers are going to look a little scary at first, but then that goes away.
Then they will trend down. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, Rich.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it. Look, I think there's a difference between panic and just having common sense preparation. That's all. Look, I think, for example, canceling the St. Patrick's Day parade, I don't know. It's outside. It might be a little bit of an overreaction. I can understand inside things, but outside things, I don't know. Like, for me, that's kind of silly, I think. But I get it. I get the I get the whole notion of having to do this. Governor Andrew Cuomo was on with who is this now, Greg, who asked him this question?
So this is at a press conference. This is at a press conference yesterday when he was talking about what they're doing in New Rochelle and the state of the St. Patrick's Day parade in New York. And a reporter from Ireland, I mean, I'm assuming she's from Ireland because she has a beautiful Irish accent, asked him if it's an overreaction to cancel the St. Patrick's Day parade.
Oh, good. Excellent.
I knew that one was going to strike home.
So what point of authority do you have on March 17th to close down New York City, St. Patrick's
Day? Well, I'm authorized, you know, by St. Patrick. That's who? Oh, yes.
Wait, stop. Is that the governor?
That is the governor responding.
Wait, that's the governor mocking her Irish accent?
I mean, it does appear to be her mocking her Irish accent.
Okay, so this is okay now.
Well, he's Italian, not Irish, right?
So it's okay now to mock an Irish accent if you're the governor of New York and you're Andrew Cuomo. So can I do a Chinese accent now?
No.
I'm asking the corporate shill. Can I do a Chinese accent?
I will physically take you off the air.
Can I do my North Korea Kim Jong-un accent?
No.
Why not?
We will put you.
Why can't I?
Because it's just not appropriate.
I used to do a great Kim Jong-un, which was from Team America World Police.
Look,
can I do it now?
Nope.
Look, you
wouldn't do it.
I have other people to answer to right now.
I did it when I was on Nights. Nobody cared back then.
You can't do it.
Yeah. When I was just your producer, I would have 100% said go.
All right, let me understand. So I can't do a Chinese accent or a North Korean accent, but Governor Cuomo can do an Irish accent in front of this woman.
Can I just point something out?
Yeah, please
though?
Do.
Rich Scioli, top-rated host, but we're talking about the governor.
Thank you.
New York State, an elected official. Yes. And this woman, this is actually her accent.
Right.
She's...
It's not like they're at a Gaelic competition where they're all doing, you know, like leprechaun impressions and it's a leprechaun contest. Who does the best Irish accent?
So the context matters here.
Yeah, good point. Thank you. Context matters. Yes, it wasn't like, okay, everybody try your Irish accent now. No. Let's see how we do. No, this is literally a woman who's Irish with her voice and he's mocking her voice. Can I do an Afghanistan accent?
No.
I mean,
no,
nope.
No. All right, I want to know my limits. All right, go ahead.
I knew that bomb was going to strike home.
I knew that bomb was going to strike home. Is he also making like an IRA reference? Is that what that is too?
Oh my goodness.
I don't know.
Is he making like a little Northern Ireland
I knew that bomb was going to strike home.
So what point of authority do you have on March 17th to close down New York City, St. Patrick's
Day? Well, I'm authorized, you know, by St. Patrick. That's who? Oh, yes. I have the highest authorization, sure. Yeah, yes, it's in the job description. You got to take a look. It could be maybe.
What?
Or maybe I just ask the Archbishop, what do you think?
What is he, drunk? Is Governor Governor Cuomo drunk? I mean, he's like a jackass, like doing this. The woman's trying to ask him serious questions, yes. Like, what is your authority? Which is a great question. Where does your authority as governor of New York come from to cancel a parade that's a private parade? Where does your authority? 80 miles? Oi, from St. Patrick. Oi, from the little leprechaun under me bed. Hey, you're the governor. What a clown this guy is. He's drunk or something, right?
I don't know.
If Trump did this. Imagine if Trump started mocking a female reporter and mocking her accent and belittling her question with stupidity. What would that? Imagine what that be like, huh? And here's Cuomo. Hey, I'm a little Lucky Charms friend on the box of cereal gave me the authorization, eh?
I mean, maybe could it be
any magically delicious?
Could it be any more stereotypical, too?
No.
I mean, we get in trouble for stereotyping, right?
All the time. Yeah. I get in trouble all the time.
Yes.
Like, not a week goes by I don't get in trouble. You went a little too close there with the line. He's like, they're magically delicious.
Maybe, speaking of magically delicious, we should put a warning label on that New York made... you know, the hand gel that he made.
Oh, New York stinks.
Don't lick your finger, you know, because if you lick it, you could be drunk and do something stupid if you lick your hand.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point because remember Cuomo said there was more alcohol in that than like bathtub moonshine?
Yes.
You know, New York stinks hand sanitizer. Theirs has 60% alcohol. Ours is 142% alcohol. Pure bathtub moonshine. Nothing can live in this. I would say don't lick your fingers, because if you do, you're going to be drunk and you're going to mock Irish people and insult their culture and belittle their questions. And nobody's going to laugh in the room but you, because you're the drunk guy, because you licked my New York stinks hand sanitizer. Like that, Dawn?
Yes.
Warning, do not lick or eat this product, because you're going to turn into a belligerent drunk. And you hear him mocking it, and nobody's laughing but him. He's laughing at his own jokes.
By the way, like this is...
The Keebler Elves gave me the authorization. Geez. I went up to the tree. And people are like, what's wrong with this guy?
This is a young... attractive reporter.
I'm sure she is.
Who's asking a very, very good question. And here's the governor of New York, who has all the power in the world, just mocking her question.
Yeah, belittling it. Like, it's not a legitimate question of how, because I'm curious as a libertarian-leaning conservative, how does a governor get the authority to cancel a parade? It's a great question. Where does that authority come from? And then it comes from a little shamrock.
No,
he found a four-leaf clover in the woods.
See, you should be careful because you'll get in trouble.
Yeah, I'll get in trouble for mocking him,
yes.
Mocking her.
But, you know, if the New York governor or President Trump, if they do those things, it's fine, right? If President Trump did
If President Trump did that, it'd be fine. It would not be an outrage at all. Not even close. He should try it. He should try to do it with Rashida Tlaib, mock her accent or something, or Ilhan Omar. I'm sure that the people no one would be outraged over that. All right, go ahead.
I knew that one was going to strike home.
So what kind of authority do you have on March 17th to close
yes.
down New York City, St. Patrick's
well,
Day?
Well, I'm authorized,
right?
You know, by St. Patrick. That's who?
Yes.
Oh, yes. I have the highest authorization, sure.
All right, just pause right there. Okay, don't go back, just right there. He sounds like a belligerent drunk at a bachelor party, right? And he's yelling, and nobody thinks he's funny, and he's had way too much hand sanitizer, and nobody thinks it's funny, and she's trying to get her question across, and he keeps coming. He keeps coming.
Right. Yeah, yes, it's in the job description. You got to take a look. Ah, it could be, maybe. Or maybe I just ask the Archbishop, what do you think? Too late. I'm going to be speaking to the parade organizers.
Oh, now he comes back to do his governor voice. All right, I think that was fun, right? We all agree that I'm terrific at this. I'm going to be talking to the parade organizers and making them an offer they can't refuse. Cancel the parade or else. Any other questions? Now, let me say, as a St. Patrick's Day special, every box of Lucky Charms you buy will include a New York Stinks hand sanitizer portable to-go unit. Deep in the box where you get the prize... you're all going to be a bunch of happy little leprechauns. Because in there, New York stinks new clover smell. Like a beautiful clover field. New York stinks is magically delicious at killing germs. I love it. He goes right from that ridiculous, dumb Irish impression and then to suddenly sounding like, yeah, and by the way, it's not a good Irish impression. It sounds like somebody says like the Swedish chef, Delaware Sasquatch, says he sounds like the Swedish chef a little bit. Somebody else said he sounds a little bit like he's doing like an Indian accent or something like that. And then now it's back to Don Cuomo here.
I'm going to be speaking to the parade organizers and the people who are involved. And see what they say.
And then if they don't say what I want them to say, they'll say what I want them to say. Now, give me that green hat and these heels. I'm going to do a little leprechaun dance. I'm going to do a little Irish step dance. Look at me. I'm the governor. Look at me. And would you whip me up some corned beef and cabbage? Is that what you people eat? Does anybody else but me find this to be problematic that this guy is like mocking this woman and insulting her? And
this week for him has just been, who voted? I mean, oh my, who voted for this guy?
Right?
He's a buffoon.
He's unhinged. I'm going to issue a formal apology on my idiot brother's show tonight. I had a little too much of that New York Stinks hand sanitizer and it went right to my head. This product is far superior than any other get-you-drunk kind of thing.
But
yes,
let us point out that Zioli's the only one doing this. Zioli's the only one who pointed out that, for example, on national TV with Savannah Guthrie yesterday, he was not asked about the lawsuits and so on.
The prison labor. Slave labor he's using to make his hand sanitizer.
Alleged by criminal justice groups and labor groups and this sort of thing. And not being asked by national media about this situation today.
Yeah.
So just pointing that out.
Thank you.
Bias by omission.
Thank you. I'd also like to point out that when Joe Biden shushed that female staffer, nobody talked about that.
Correct.
But me, maybe some others, but nobody in the mainstream.
I
didn't
hear anybody.
And nobody today is breaking news. Governor mocks Irish reporter.
No. Nobody.
And by the way, this happened yesterday afternoon, probably about 1 o'clock. I believe he was on with his brother at 9:30. After the president's address.
Yeah, did his idiot brother ask him?
His brother did not bring this up, did not even...
And by the way, you won't hear it, right?
Chris, what can I say? The spirit of the leprechaun moved me, and that little Irish lass, what are you going to do? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable the double standard that exists in life.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, so let's see here now. Eric is in Williamstown. Eric, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rich. Sorry I didn't get on the radio until later. Got the road later. But unfortunately...
Well, we've been waiting for your call, Eric, so thank you.
Yeah. You sound like waiting like my wife. Yeah, okay. I agree that the president has to do something. You know, it's a shame that he's damned to do it, damned if he didn't, you know. But in one aspect, the willingness of the Democrats to tank the U.S. economy just for because they don't like this president. And I don't know if you discussed this, but look at the correlation of how many cases are being underreported in Iran. And why is the back and forth they have with China and Iran, that nice tight relationship, we should be seriously concerned about that.
I 100% agree with you. There's no question about it. Yes. And Iran, remember, there's travel restrictions from Iran as well as China.
They're already in place right now.
Yeah.
Yes,
look, I think China, you want to know my opinion, by the way? I don't believe the situation.
Sir.
I don't believe the situation in China is getting better. I think China is lying as usual. And I think that they're covering it up. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're untrustworthy. But yeah, you're right. So out of the ashes, I sure hope we get some nice multimillionaire entrepreneurs that start all this manufacturing and medical supplies and everything else.
I agree. And you know what? It could be a great time to usher in a new era of American innovation, because if it were up to me, I would 100% rather buy American-made medicines than Chinese-made medicines. You know, I didn't realize this before, but do you know that there are some spices you can buy in the grocery store that are made in China? Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until recently. And since then, I only buy the U.S. made. I look to make sure they're made from in America. I didn't know. And my eyes are open to that, too.
And a quick note, you had a big, remember how way back when we had the big scare, the Chinese dog food for our pets? Well, but it's okay that they can make medicine for human beings. We got a serious problem there.
Thanks for the call, Eric. I appreciate it. The problem is that when you turn over the supply of your crucial medical needs to a country that, let's face it, hates us. They do. I'm sorry, but don't think that China really likes us. China deals with us. We're frenemies. But that's a major national security problem staring you in the face. At the CDC yesterday, Representative Mike Rogers asked a question to Stephen C. Redd, a U.S. physician and rear admiral with the U.S. Public Health Service and an assistant surgeon general, about the president's China restrictions. Cut five.
The Chinese government failed to give us notice for 2 months from the time of the outbreak until they did make the international community aware. What damage did that do to our ability to deal with this in a better fashion, if any, that you're aware of?
I think there's some things that they did well and others that they didn't. The reporting the outbreak quickly, posting the sequence of the new virus. There did appear to be a period of time when probably things were going on that weren't getting out of China. I think there were questions about whether there was human-to-human transmission that initially appeared it might be just people exposed to animals. So I think that was a period of time when we were there's not really anything we would have done differently. We were working on a diagnostic test. We were sending materials that started the ball rolling on vaccine production. Within weeks of identifying the outbreak, the restriction of travel from China reduced travel by 90%. I think that was a very helpful move to prevent more cases from China coming into the United States.
Thank you.
Yeah, see, that's a key point of this, right? And they called the president xenophobic. And Bernie Sanders, by the way, said he would not impose travel restrictions because from Bernie's perspective, that would be xenophobic and wrong. Let me ask an honest question. What is the difference between saying, like at my company, for example, no outside visitors, and then saying that we're not going to take visitors from China or Europe? What's the difference? You're talking about limiting, introducing into the population people that could be sick. Why is it any different? It's not forever. At some point, we'll have outside visitors back here in my company. At some point, your company will do the same thing. And at some point, the travel restrictions that we put up against Europe and China will end. So what's the problem with saying we're going to have short-term travel restrictions to limit introducing into the population somebody who could be sick? I don't know why that's a problem. Why that's an issue. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Dr. Anthony Fauci yesterday discussing the lethality of the flu versus the coronavirus and how the coronavirus is probably 10 times more lethal. Cut one.
You, by way of comparison, briefly explain how does COVID-19 compare to other previous health situations, SARS, H1N1, things like that?
Sure, sir. Thank you for the question. Well, SARS was also a coronavirus in 2002. It infected 8,000 people, and it killed about 775. It had a mortality of about 9 to 10%. So that's only 8,000 people. In about a year, in the 2.5 months that we've had this coronavirus, as you know, we now have multiples of that. So it clearly is not as lethal, and I'll get to the lethality in a moment, but it certainly spreads better. Probably for the practical understanding of the American people, the seasonal flu that we deal with every year has a mortality of 0.1%. The stated mortality overall of this, when you look at all the data, including China, is about 3%. It first started off as 2 and now 3. I think if you count all the cases of minimally symptomatic or asymptomatic infection, that probably brings the mortality rate down to somewhere around 1%, which means it is 10 times more lethal than the seasonal flu. I think that's something that people can get their arms around and understand.
Now, remember, he's talking about people that are the people that are likely to die from it. And that's the difference. And that's why you want to work to protect those people from getting it. By the way, when I check it on social media, I see that Minnie tweets, Greg Stocker and Dawn Stensland, please stop censoring me. We need to laugh to get through this. Thank you, Minnie. Thank you for defending me.
Who censored
you? You all let me do my North Korean accent, my Chinese accent.
I mean, do it if you want to, but none of us will have a job tomorrow.
Well, no. I threatened the spanking machine, which, of course, I would videotape. So
yes,
we would add to the entertainment.
And we would make money off that. So there's that, you know. That check-in on social media brought to you by our great friends at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. They really do matter. And thank you for tweeting us and also Facebook.com/Zeoli Show. We'll read more of these throughout the show as well. I tweeted yesterday, I'm tired of these freaking kiosk machines. You know, I go to the ShopRite last night, and I'm checking out. And as I have to touch everything, you know, you got to touch the screens, the credit card, the debit card, the blah, 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 blah. But you can't get Purell. They need to have Purell stations by all these self-checkout machines.
Yes.
They really do. And that annoyed me last night big time because I'm thinking, I have no choice but to touch it or I got to touch the dirty pen and I got to hit it. And they'd ask you like 9 times, is the amount okay? I hate that question too. Is the amount okay? No, I want it to be 0. This amount is not okay. Do you ever get that question when you check out?
Yeah.
Is 78.83 okay with you? No, 0 is okay with me. Make it 0, please. No, it's not okay. And then you got to go credit, debit, credit, amount okay? Yes. Like, stop with all the freaking things you gotta ask me. I keep touching this screen over and over again. Receipt, yes, no. Printed email, no, yes, no. Bag, your own bags, yes, no. Put in your number, blah, 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 blah. And then no hand sanitizer machine for you to clean your dirty hands after touching this filthy, disgusting kiosk thing. Just had to get that off my chest. Chris on Twitter says, really? People are finally waking up to proper hygiene? Really? Door handles, touch screens, rental cars, airplanes, hotel rooms. Just be mindful to wash your hands prior to eating or touching your face. Don't pick your nose or rub your eyes. Wash your hands.
It's everything
Chris.
And grandma told you, right?
It really is, right? let's go to Lisa's in Maryland. Lisa, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Great show as always. I don't have any questions. I just have a couple quick points to make. As a mom whose daughter was located in the Peace Corps in 2 hours outside of the capital of Conakry, where they triaged Ebola patients during the Ebola crisis, I am well aware of how concerning it is with these illnesses. I want to say that I think that the Democrats and the media are overplaying their hand. I'm watching television, and these people are almost gleeful over the fact that my 401k is now a 201k. Am I concerned about that? No, I know it'll come back, and it'll come back with a vengeance because that's just who we are. But also I wanted to say any other president, Republican or Democrat, would curl up in a fetal position in a corner and really, I think, not know what to do. President Trump comes out, he signs the order with regard to the supply chain. I'm really impressed. I don't know that any other president would have done that. My point, great show. Thanks for taking my call, and everybody stay safe out there.
Thanks, Lisa. Appreciate the call very much. 855-839-1210.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Janice says use Apple Pay. No or minimal screen touching at the checkout. I know, but unfortunately at ShopRite, when you use Apple Pay, you still have to touch credit or debit.
Yes.
Which totally defeats
the
point.
Purpose. Yeah, exactly. Thank you for being the only person to say that.
Totally defeats the freaking point.
Exactly.
And if you're going to make me touch your screen, you better supply Purell. Because I can't buy it.
Exactly.
Can't find it anywhere.
You could wear gloves.
You know what the problem with gloves, though? Because I agree with you. The problem, though, is that, like, you ever see those people at food trucks with the gloves? The guy's scratching his body, he's touching the money, he's cooking your food. Like, the gloves don't prevent germs if you keep using the gloves over and over again.
That's
so I got to remember to take the gloves off after I use the screen.
That's true.
But you can't buy gloves anywhere, either. Can't find gloves.
You could put a Band-Aid on your index finger, touch the screen, then take the Band-Aid off. I'm just trying to help.
By the way, that's a great idea. Dr. Maz, I'm going to replay the interview I did earlier with Dr. Anthony Mazzaroli, the co-CEO, co-president of Cooper University Healthcare System. I think you'll really appreciate it. We'll do that at 8:30, but let's check in with Dawn and get the latest on everything.
Okay, good morning. We have 44 degrees. Yoli Show News brought to you by Wawa. So our region obviously feeling the impact of the fallout from the declaration of the COVID-19 pandemic. So businesses, hospitals, schools, colleges closing or making a lot of alterations to limit public exposure to the novel virus that spreads quickly through the air and lives on objects for days. By the way, the largest CDC study based on China, which officials say, yes, China is ground zero and believe the origin of COVID-19. The death rate among healthy patients was 0.9%, less than 1%, as stated by Dr. Anthony Fauci. So more cases suspected across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and yes, Delaware, a UDel professor as well. Thousands of people being told stay home or stay away from others. And many store shelves are already empty. CDC is saying stock up. And that means have a 2-week supply of food, medicine, and essentials like toilet paper. They even suggest nuts, protein bars, and popcorn on the list.
On the list, huh?
And they say for your refrigerated items like yogurt or milk, remember to check those expiration dates. So a little bit of help from the CDC. At PHL, I've been telling you, they're doing health screenings the best they can by the CBC and the TSA. We do have a developing story with word of an airline passenger flying from New York City to Florida who tested positive for COVID-19 moments after landing. So they had first responders go to the airport, and the crew and 114 passengers were stuck on that plane, sort of quarantined for a few hours before they were released to go home, but without seeing a doctor. So that has gone viral. We're watching another developing story. Will the Wells Fargo Center remain open for major venues? Zioli talked about, obviously, the Flyers game this weekend. But yesterday, they did release some COVID-19 guidelines. And now we're learning that tour buses were seen leaving the arena this morning. There are rumors and reports from sources that tonight's concert by country music duo Dan and Shay may be postponed. So there is a Wells Fargo Center official statement online that says everything is going on as scheduled and they've upped the cleaning. But there are all kinds of sources and reports out there online saying that they're thinking about shutting down.
How about the Oak Ridge Boys in Myrtle Beach tomorrow, Saturday night?
You know what? Greg and I were talking about this after, like, off camera, off mic, was South Carolina, this COVID-19 has not hit. So I want you to think about this like a storm.
Yeah, but somebody could come there to the concert.
They could, but
after having been touched, like talk to somebody.
Right, but
he's worried about his dad.
I know you're worried about your dad, but it hasn't hit South Carolina.
No, but it could. But remember, we're not testing people, so maybe somebody has it, but they haven't been tested.
If I were you, I would. I don't know how you can tell your dad's.
Well, I know he's listening right now.
Oh, you're listening. Papa Zioli, don't go.
Don't go.
He's very worried.
Because he said the same thing to me last night. He said this to me last night.
But he goes, make it so he's doing it for you.
He goes, it hasn't hit South Carolina. I go, you don't know that because they're not testing enough people yet. Number two, how do you know somebody's not going to show up to the concert after they just came back from some other place?
Let me take you.
Why do you want to take that chance right now? The guy's ground zero first responder with lung issues.
Right, but let me take it in the Mama Zioli direction.
Yeah.
If Papa Zioli is exposed, then Mama Zioli can't be by Bridget and the baby when the baby's born in the grandkids.
There you go.
So that's the route you gotta go.
I will personally sing
careful,
you
baby.
Personally sing you the Oak Ridge, but I'll sing you Elvira. I'll hire
I was just gonna say, Rich, we have a little juice in this business. Don't we know somebody that could, you know,
get the Oak Ridge Boys on the phone and see if we can get a personal concert with them from my father.
I'm actually not joking. But
I'm not either. I'm serious.
Like, yeah. I feel like we know somebody from the Oak Ridge Boys. Like
the lead singer's buddies with Charlie Manuel, and he's been on our station before.
Oh, yes.
So,
all right. We got to work on these.
Maybe
connections.
If I get a call from that. Again, if my dad didn't have, like, if my dad was not a ground zero hero, you know, with like the other guys and dealing with all these health issues, I would not be concerned. If it wasn't a new granddaughter on the way for him in a couple weeks, I wouldn't be so concerned. But I think just common sense dictates, like, you know.
But that's why he's a hero, so he's not going to, he's selfless. So you got to make it about,
no, he's being
like,
stupid.
Baby.
No, he's not.
No, he is.
Stop. He is if he goes.
We just, as the Zioli Show as a whole, Dawn and Greg, We're all saying don't go.
Yeah, we're saying don't
we'll
go.
Try
last
and get
night he tweets me the George Carlin germs bit. And I wrote back, I said, that's funny, but
that is a funny
I don't think
bit.
The president would shut down travel to Europe if this was true. Like not a big deal, right?
This is true.
Donald Trump doesn't want to risk a worldwide recession by shutting down travel to Europe if this was just a we're all being paranoid kind of a situation.
He's going
to
be a thrice grandpa. He has to, you know.
He's got to do these
children.
Things.
All right, let me get to the forecast from NBC 10. First alert weather today, 57 degrees, mostly cloudy. Overnight rain could be heavy. Rain tapers off after tomorrow morning because we have so much to get to for partly sunny skies and 70 degrees tomorrow afternoon, 25 mile an hour winds. Weekend looks mild and nice. So let's talk about Wawa, who sponsors this news and weather. Any two Wawa Sizzlies, now $4 from Applewood Smoked Bacon to Savory Sausage. Grab any two delicious Sizzlies. You crave Sizzlies time, and breakfast is better always with Wawa. Any two Sizzlies, $4. Gotta have a Wawa. I'm Dawn, reporting from Radio.com World Headquarters, Zilly Show News.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. Before I get to Dr. Mass, I want to just shift gears quickly to politics. Bernie Sanders announced that he is not dropping out of the race. Bernie is going to stay in. He's all in on this race. I started the show with this today, but we'll have more on this tomorrow because Bernie had a series of questions for Joe Biden for their big debate Sunday night. I do want to mention, though, that the politics of some of this is so stupid. For me, as I look at it, Nancy Pelosi demanded that Kevin McCarthy apologize over his bigoted coronavirus tweet. Now, House Speaker Pelosi on Tuesday said that Republican Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy sent a bigoted message on the coronavirus for noting its place of origin and demanded him to delete the message and apologize immediately. McCarthy took to social media on Monday, posting a link to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention website to assist Americans in staying informed on the coronavirus. Quote, this is what he tweeted. He said, everything you need to know about the Chinese coronavirus can be found on one regularly updated website. Pelosi took issue with McCarthy's description, tweeting out back, referring to the virus's country of origin is bigoted. Quote, bigoted statements which spread misinformation and blame Asians and the Asian American community for coronavirus make us all less safe. He must delete this tweet and apologize immediately, she said. Many figures have had their hands slapped by verified users on Twitter, including Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Representative Paul Gosar for using terms like Chinese coronavirus and Wuhan virus. However, as Breitbart News' John Nolte demonstrated, naming viruses after their places of origin is a well-established practice spanning decades. Wuhan was first discovered in Wuhan, China. Ebola was named after a river close to where an outbreak took place in Africa. Lyme disease was named after a Connecticut town experiencing an outbreak in 1975. The Zika virus was named after a forest in Uganda in 1947, where scientists discovered what it was. The Marburg virus was first discovered in Marburg, Germany. The West Nile virus is what causes West Nile fever, which was discovered on the banks of the West Nile River. Do you know Legionnaires' disease is named that because the first notable outbreak killed off a bunch of Legionnaires in attendance at an American Legion convention in Philadelphia in 1976. And once again, you know, this idea that we can't say the Chinese coronavirus, but we can talk about the Spanish flu and what the Spanish flu did to people around the world to kill them is ridiculous. But of course, media outlets at one point had no problem saying all these things. It was only until the left decided that was now going to make it political that they had to change. New York Times, Japan and Thailand confirmed new cases of Chinese coronavirus. That was from a January headline in the New York Times. CNN, China confirms Wuhan virus can be spread by humans. That was CNN in January. CNBC reporting in January, the CDC and Homeland Security begin screening for Chinese coronavirus at three major U.S. airports as outbreak spreads in Asia. The Washington Post, BuzzFeed, NBC's Today, and Los Angeles Times have all been documented using the term Chinese coronavirus. Moreover, Business Insider, Reuters, USA Today, and CNN have used either the term Wuhan virus or Wuhan coronavirus. So there you go.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.